Welcome to the deep dive. So you, the learner, sent us this really fascinating set of sources.
Yeah, quite a collection.
And our job, as always, is to pull out the most compelling stuff, the insights that give you that aha moment, a shortcut to being informed without, well, drowning in data.
And today's dive, it's deep, all right. We're looking at the coreworlds.pdf, the johnhenryfoster.pdf, and all those Mayorga documents you shared.
It sketches out this future where humanity, well, has to leave Earth. It's dying.
Right. And they join this huge interplanetary network run by an alien race, the Z, pronounced Z.
Exactly, the Z.
Yeah.
It's not just moving house, it's humanity integrating into this vast galactic
A
civilization.
totally new reality. The sources cover, well, everything. First contact, this enormous
New
migration.
societies, amazing tech, politics, even resistance movements across, what, thousands of worlds?
Thousands, yes, it's
Yeah.
mass.
So, our mission today: extract the most intriguing bits for you. Focus on the sheer scale of it all and maybe some of the surprising details. Okay, let's start at the beginning. The reasons for leaving Earth. Pretty grim, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. The documents paint a bleak picture. You've got environmental collapse, ecosystems just gone, resource wars breaking out everywhere. It sounds like Earth was really on its last legs.
Desperate times. And right then, the Zai show up.
Part of this thing called the Galactic Council's Sentient Species Preservation Initiative. That alone tells you something, doesn't it?
That saving species is like a thing, that there might be other threats out there.
Exactly. It hints at a bigger, maybe more dangerous galactic picture. So the Zai arrive and they make an offer.
Not just sightseers, then. What was the deal?
Basically, planetary transfer, a full relocation for humanity. In return, they get Zai protection, advanced technology, and crucially, new planets to live on.
Wow. You have to wonder how bad things were on Earth for humanity to say yes to basically being evacuated by aliens.
The desperation must have been immense. And the scale. We're talking over 9 billion people. Moved,
9 billion.
relocated to about 3,500 different colonies, all carefully picked out. It's
Yeah.
almost impossible to really wrap a head around that number.
Think of the logistics. Forget moving house. This is moving an entire species. It would change everything, family, culture, what home even means.
Completely.
Yeah.
So where did they all go first? There had to be a processing center, right?
Right. Which brings us to Planet Two, TU, pronounced two. The documents call it humanity's Ellis Island among the stars.
Ah, okay. The main entry point. What was that like? Billions arriving?
Arrival Colony One, that was the main reception area on two. They talk about medical care, physical rehab, and something called DNA upgrades.
DNA upgrades. What does that mean? Like fixing genetic diseases or.
More than that, it seems, the
Huh?
sources suggest pretty fundamental genetic alterations, things affecting lifespan, even enhancing latent abilities like ESP plus training, cultural learning, getting people ready for this new Z network life.
Whoa, okay. Genetic upgrades and galactic scale cultural orientation. That's a
Right.
lot. And to itself, just a processing planet.
Oh no, it sounds incredible. It had this high-speed underground transit system, get this, capable of over 4,000 miles per hour.
4,000, that's insane. Faster than any train we have.
Way faster. And the craziest part, this transit network also apparently functioned as a planetary shield.
A train system that's also a defense shield? Okay, that's some serious next level engineering. Z-Tech sounds pretty integrated.
It does. And interestingly, while two had this super fast rail, the documents mention that ubiquitous teleportation was also common across other Zeit worlds, alongside more, well, traditional transport.
So, different tech for different places. Makes sense. What else about two?
It wasn't just functional. It had these diverse, carefully managed climate zones, rainforests, icy mountains, you name it, all designed to help Earth immigrants get used to the different environments they might find on their final colony worlds.
Smart. Acclimatization built right in. Now, these sources, they keep mentioning one person in particular, don't they? This figure, John Henry Foster, seems pretty central to the whole story.
He really does. His story is, well, it's something else. Born in 1901, rural Arkansas.
Right, and he had these pronounced ESP abilities from a young age. But the really strange part is his mentor.
Edwin Telemere, described as a Nordic ET in disguise.
Yeah. Apparently, Telemere helped him understand and develop his abilities, which makes you wonder how long were ETs watching us before this whole Z intervention?
A secret alien mentor in Arkansas.
Okay.
Okay. And Foster used these powers?
The documents say so.
Yeah.
Winning money on horse races as a kid
Handy skill.
and supposedly decoding enemy messages in World War I using his ESP. quite a life already.
And then it goes full sci-fi. He marries a woman named Anna.
In 1923, yeah. And then 1925, first direct contact with a Z, right there on his family farm. Apparently Telmir set it up.
And he meets a Z named Kepton.
Kepton, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who reveals this plan to save Earth.
Wow. Just drops that bombshell on a farm in Arkansas. And Foster's role.
He becomes humanity's ambassador. The guy tasked with preparing humanity for open disclosure in 2030. The sources mentioned his wit, charm, and magnetic personality being key. Hmm. His job was basically to tell everyone, it's okay, the aliens are here to help.
Talk about pressure. Reassuring 9 billion people about leaving their planet.
Immense pressure. And as part of this, he, Anna, and some scientists get taken to the Z homeworld, Didiza.
What was that like? A diplomatic trip.
More than that. It was transformative for Foster, apparently. He seemed to connect with the Z or their world in a way the others didn't. Maybe something to do with Telomere, or just his inherent nature.
And they didn't just look around, did they? There was another intervention.
Right, another DNA upgrade.
This one specifically halted the aging process for Foster, Anna, and some of the scientists.
Halted aging, so like immortality.
Effective immortality, yeah. And it also enhanced certain ESP abilities, telepathy, heightened senses. Seems these abilities became important later, politically and personally. Immortality and superpowers. Sounds almost too good. Any drawbacks?
Well, the sources do mention some negative side effects for some people who got the upgrade. Things like severe depression, delusional thinking. It wasn't a perfect process, clearly.
Okay, so potential downsides to messing with fundamental biology. And Foster himself, living forever while everyone else doesn't.
That became an issue. Apparently, he had to be kept somewhat out of the public eye for a while as he visibly stopped aging compared to his peers. The social implications, huge.
You think? So he goes from ambassador to actually leading the whole migration in 2030? Humanity's prime.
He does. Leads the great exit. But his time at the very top was short.
What happened?
Politics. Seems even in the face of species survival, you still get rivalries.
Yeah.
A figure named Michael Stetson is mentioned as a key rival. Accusations flew that Foster had, I don't know, sold humanity out to the Zine.
Seriously? After negotiating the rescue package?
Apparently so. He was ousted as prime in 2035, which led him to leave the core world and head out to Mayorga.
Mayorga? Ah, we'll come back to that. So he founded a colony there.
Yeah, calling him Hotep. It just shows, doesn't it? Advanced tech, alien contact.
Yeah.
But human power struggles. They persist.
From savior to leader to political exile to colony founder. What a trajectory. Okay, let's zoom out again. Life in this Zai planets network. What's it actually like for the average person living on one of these 3,500 worlds?
Well, it's vast, as we said. Thousands of worlds,
mm-hmm.
all linked by wormhole travel.
Wormholes, like instant travel between stars.
Pretty much. Shortcuts through space-time, essentially, makes the network function. Now, governance. It's interesting. You've got the Zai Council at the very top. Supreme governing body.
Okay, so the Zai are in charge overall.
Yes, but there seems to be a lot of human autonomy delegated downwards. Planet governors, local councils managing regions, even citizen committees for community input.
So not just alien overlords dictating everything, more like senior partners, a collaborative structure.
Seems like it. A balance between Zai oversight and human self-management, maybe. And practically speaking, how does this massive network function day to day?
Trade, mostly. Interplanetary trade is vital. Planets tend to specialize. One focuses on agriculture, another on manufacturing, another on research, perhaps.
Creating complex supply chains across the stars, managed through, I assume, very sophisticated logistics.
Definitely. And it's not just goods. They have cultural exchange programs using VR. Imagine virtual trips to other colony worlds to experience their unique cultures.
Wow, VR tourism across planets. That's cool. And festivals, too, apparently, bringing different planetary cultures together physically.
Plus, tons of scientific collaboration. Share research projects, data networks, accelerating progress like crazy.
And it's not static, right? They're still exploring, finding new planets.
Yep. Ongoing exploration and colonization. And the Z are actively looking for alliances with other new species they encounter. It's a dynamic, growing civilization.
Incredible interconnectedness. Always evolving. Okay, let's dive into some of the really specific, almost weirdly fascinating details mentioned in the sources. The stuff that makes you go, huh.
Right, like the replication library on 2 at a place called Aquatica.
Yeah, imagine this. A massive digital archive. Scans of practically everything from Earth's history, artifacts, museum collections, old cars, planes, you name it.
Everything. So anyone can just access like a perfect 3D model of the Mona Lisa or a Model T Ford.
Seems so. Accessible to all citizens. A complete backup of human heritage.
That's amazing, and kind of necessary if you've left the original planet behind. Then there are the experience parks.
These sound wild. The old days part hundreds of square miles recreating 20th and 21st century Earth highways. You can reserve a replicated vintage car.
Like a classic Mustang or an old RV.
Exactly. And drive through these recreated towns and suburbs. Let new generations literally experience the old world.
And how do you get access? Is it expensive?
Doesn't sound like it's purely money. More like a barter system, volunteering time, trading crafts, or art for park access.
Yeah.
An interesting social model there.
Definitely different. What other parks?
Frontier Life, a huge 500-mile Wild West immersive park. Probably a bit cleaner and safer than the real thing, one hopes.
Huh. Yeah, maybe less gritty realism. No Westworld vibes mentioned.
Doesn't seem like it. More family-friendly historical recreation. And then there's Tesla Days.
A whole park for Nikola Tesla.
Dedicated to his life, his work, his experiments, showing how foundational his ideas were for this future tech. It really shows this strong pull towards history, doesn't it? Even with star travel, they're building replicas of old cars and celebrating inventors from centuries ago.
Nostalgia on a planetary scale. These parks are like giant interactive museums. And then there's Mayorga, where Foster ended up. It sounds like a blend itself.
It really does. Colony Imhotep, the main city, described as mixing Earth heritage with zine tech. Crystalline towers, garden plazas, a hub for artists and scientists.
And Foster's big project there, the Valley of the Sun.
100-mile-long replica park of Earth's greatest megalithic monuments. Stonehenge, the pyramids, maybe others. All recreated, but with subtle Z material or energy enhancements.
100 miles of pyramids and stone circles. That's some serious dedication to the past.
Then you have the crystal gardens, bioengineered plants woven with Zai crystals, creating these luminous living lightscapes.
Sounds beautiful. And New Alexandria.
Mayorga's intellectual core. A vast library and data center, inspired by the ancient Library of Alexandria, but using advanced Zai data systems.
So Mayorga is like a microcosm of this whole civilization looking back, pushing forward.
Okay.
What about the overall social structure, colony-based?
Primarily, yeah. Each colony develops its own mix of old Earth cultures and new societal norms and the economy. That's a huge shift. Replication-based.
Meaning?
Universal access to basics. Food, housing, healthcare.
Mm.
All producible via replication tech. So essentially, no poverty in the traditional sense. A post-scarcity society for necessities.
Not for everything.
Right. For luxuries, specialized services, maybe access to things like those experience parks. There's a reputation economy. Your standing, your contributions to the community that becomes your currency.
Wow. That changes everything about work value status.
It's a fundamental shift. Although, interestingly, the sources also mention a dark replication network.
A black market? For what?
Unauthorized tech, restricted goods, stuff outside the official system, suggests that even in this utopia, there's still an underground. And don't forget, there are supposedly still holdout territories back on Earth.
People who refuse to leave, still resisting the Z.
Pockets of resistance, yeah, even after everything. Which brings us back, in a way, to Foster. What's his ultimate legacy in all this?
Well, his hybrid nature, part human, part genetically altered with these ESP abilities, seems key. He was the bridge, wasn't he, between humans and Zai?
Absolutely. Maybe that understanding he fostered was crucial. And the documents hint there was a bigger threat, the Densha.
Yeah, mentioned briefly, implying the whole evacuation wasn't just about Earth dying, but about escaping something else, making Foster's role even more critical.
Possibly. Securing humanity's escape route from a larger danger. And remember, Michael Stetson, Foster's rival?
The one who ousted him.
Yeah. He later spearheaded the Collectors Program, focused on preserving Earth's heritage, which feeds directly into that replication library and the parks. So even rivals contributed to shaping this new civilization.
Life's complicated, even among the stars. And the personal impact of tech like regen, that DNA regeneration, the anti-aging.
Profound. Think about family structures, careers, societal planning, when people potentially live for centuries. It creates this constant tension, this balancing act between radical progress and holding on to tradition.
That seems to be the theme. Foster himself embodies it. Savior, politician, exile builder. His journey mirrors humanity's own turbulent transformation.
Absolutely. A complex legacy for a complex time.
So the Learner, that was quite a journey we just took. From a dying Earth to this sprawling interplanetary civilization, guided by the Z.
We really dug into John Henry Foster's central and kind of complicated role and looked at these massive societal and technological shifts.
Yeah, the aha moments for me. Well, the sheer scale of the migration, obviously. 9 billion people.
Right.
The power of Z-Tech shields as train tunnels.
Mm-hmm. And the Z governance, not just top-down control, those experience sparks too, that deep need for nostalgia, and the whole idea of a reputation economy.
It changes how you think about value, right?
Yeah.
And look, the sources you sent were incredibly detailed, but even this deep dive, we've really only scratched the surface.
There's so much more there, which leads to a thought, maybe, for you to mull over. Given everything we've discussed, the challenges, the opportunities, what parts of human nature do you think would be tested the most in a transition like this?
That's a big question, and maybe another. If you had access to this kind of technology, these new worlds, what kind of society would you try to build? What values would be paramount?
Good questions to ponder. We hope this has sparked your curiosity to explore these ideas further.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.